Your lips are so moist.
Love is like an ocean.
I'm very nervous. It could come home at any moment.
I just want to taste your spit one more time.
But blood is thicker than water.
Hey, babe, I'm home early. Charlene.
Oh.
Steve?
Oh, my goodness.
Charlene, you've betrayed me, and I'm going to stab my brother in the heart.
Heard it. No!
Tender Touches. The Love Triangle unfolds every night this week at 12:30 a.m. on Adult Swim.
Her hats. Like, who's going to wear them?
We already missed so much good stuff. I think she was imagining the whole family wearing Make Fish Center Great Again hats.
Like, wow. Wearing Make Fish Center Great Again hats to, like, Disney World.
Yeah. It's a shame Cho died.
Yeah, it's a shame that we're doing this without Cho, because Cho died. Cho never got to be on season 4 of Tender Touches because he died, unfortunately.
I think if Cho were on this, he would just probably remain silent. I think he's retired from broadcasting.
Yeah. He's taking a vow of media silence.
Joe's the only one who's posted like a video of him and Lazo on the golf course once, and people have been posting that video of Lazo in the Adult Swim Discord because he's just like driving by in a cart. It's so funny.
I don't get it.
Well, the joke is that it's funny because he's an executive. Yes, I'm recording. I'm just kind of like, in case we get anything good in the first couple minutes here, but I guess
the reason I'm asking, are you recording splits or are we all level? I just want to make sure I'm not too loud or anything. Okay. I just don't want people to say like, oh, I liked listening to that, but Dave was just all up in my ear the whole time.
Yeah, he was all up in my ear.
Which cat is that, Max?
That's Lugaru. I grabbed him poorly. I don't think he liked that. But he's happy. He's not running away, so it means he's not angry.
Yeah. What's the name of the mannequin again? I always forget the name of the mannequin.
Man Manda. And then Tina found out the other day about Mandiggity Snag. Uh-huh. I was like, oh yeah, she made Cat president. She's an old viewer, whatever.
She
just found out she existed because she's been chatting on my Twitch account, Rat Cousin. And she then was like, I can't believe you named your mannequin after Mandiggity Snag. I'm like, no. Huh. It's Mannequin Amanda. If anything, mm-hmm. It's not named after anything.
It's named after what it is.
It's just a mannequin named Man-Man-da.
Yeah, I've been meaning to tune into Rat Cousin, but he always goes live when I'm at work. So
okay,
then
put it on your second screen and listen to him while he plays Balatro and Death Stranding now, Dave.
Do you have to do that voice the whole time? Because
I do it.
I see you're doing the voice.
I do a voice. Yeah. But you know what? If I have a better house, I'm going to switch to camera and just be me. This is an ugly shot. This is just an ugly shot, and I don't have a good camera.
If you get one purple light on the left side and one green light on the right side.
Oh, I'll look like a real streamer.
Yeah. And get one of those race car chairs.
I don't know. It's just kind of become a thing that I just do this the whole time. Yeah. I don't know. There's something kind of meditative about it. Yeah.
Sort of like sometimes I'll wake up as I'm snoring, and I'll just be aware of how good it feels to snore.
Snore. Yeah. It is fun when your snores wake yourself up.
Yeah. Also, I am just a little bit, I have some yellow snot in my nose. So if I sound a little congested, I'm going to try not to go, you know,
we
stuff like that.
I want you all to picture that. Everyone at home, picture Dave's yellow snot, please.
I've got a weird question for Dave. I don't know if it's because of the bit rate, but your cheeks look rosy and your face looks soft. Do you have a filter on? Because you kind of look like a baby.
Do I have a filter on?
Like a weird Russian baby that they got posted on TikTok.
Sometimes I have touch up my appearance on.
You look a little weird.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it off.
Okay, it looks so much better.
Yeah, look how gritty I look now.
Yeah, now you look like Last of Us.
I am I'm sunburned because I've been snowboarding a lot lately.
Hear in L.A. you can surf in the morning and snowboard in the afternoon.
Listen, I'm 55 minutes from my door to the lift at Mount Baldy.
Whoa.
You're 55 years old?
Someday, God willing.
And I'm a mother. Dude, I can't wait till you're 55 and we say it's the big 5-5.
Oh, yeah. It's coming up.
All right. So we can. Do you want to like start talking about Tender Touches?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so this is Owls Only. I'm your host, Bryce Hope, and if you haven't, are sure you know by clicking on this that I'm joined by the creators of the show we're talking about today, Maxime Simonet and Dave Bonowitz, and we're talking about Tender Touches. So this started as like a bit on Blood Feast, right? This started as like a kind of like a sketch you guys would do on Blood Feast.
It actually started as a bit on Adult Swim Crosswords before Blood Feast was the name, I think.
Oh yeah.
Dave and the Crossword Guys.
When
It was
did Dave and the
you
Crossword Guys.
change the name to Blood Feast?
When we were in another room and Matt said we had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, because I am remembering it did start in the former conference room.
So we did conference room, then we did big meeting room,
Yeah, and we changed the name in the meeting room.
and the meeting room's where we changed the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Warner Discovery built us studios because they wanted to support our live streams.
Yeah.
Look what happened. Let's talk more about live streaming. Just kidding.
No, we're live streaming right now. That's the surprise. I'm live streaming this on Twitch, not actually. Okay,
Oh,
so the big
it's
story
okay
with
if
this
you were.
show, no, the
It's
big
okay.
story, the big thing about this show is that you guys literally improvised the pilot episode live on Blood Feast. And is that the same recording that's in like the actual pilot you can stream on like Tubi? Or is that, did you guys
Tubi.
record it, re-record it again?
I think it's what, 9 minutes of the first time we streamed, and maybe
And
three
then
minutes of the
of the
next time we
second time,
streamed.
yeah. The one
Okay.
re-record there
There
is
is one re-record.
where we say pistachio pie instead of pussy. What is it?
Yeah.
I
Pretty
think you
little
said, I
pussy.
pistachio. Yeah,
I
it
think
was something
that's
like
funnier.
that.
I think
Mike.
there's some neuroses going on with Mike Lazo. It has to do with his height, it has to do with his gender, it has to do with the way he was raised. He doesn't like the word pussy,
I think
which,
maybe
I
the
remember that.
combination of words.
Pretty little pussy.
I mean, I understand
The size of a
why.
thumbnail.
I understand why Cartoon Network might have a problem with
But
airing
yeah,
that phrase.
Dave had the idea, which I accidentally said was my idea once, and I've felt bad for 7 years, which was that we should do a soap opera or something. And then we said, because we were just shooting the shit, let's have somebody call in to play the third character. And then half the gag was us correcting the third character.
Yeah. And the third character was Charlene, played by Bradley Milner. Fucking incredible performance because he brings this like comedic energy and there's nothing else like it on TV, especially when you guys are just fucking with him and he's getting like actually mad. There's nothing else like it. It's so unbelievably funny. Like I think that his performance really is like he ties that shit together and it makes it like so memorable. I think like the season one finale, he's like recording it in the bathroom at work and he has to leave because people are like finding him or something. People are like getting this boss like getting mad at him.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Who are you
Hello?
calling?
Uh-oh, can you hear me?
Think he's calling someone.
Wait, give me one sec.
He's calling
Hello?
Bradley.
Oh my God.
Hey, Bradley, are you there?
Yeah, hey, did I just hear Dave?
Yeah, Brad. We're live.
Live on what? What's
Going on, Bradley?
I don't know this voice. Live on what?
You should.
You have three guesses what we're live on. If you are correct
Well,
with any of them, we are doing season four of Tender Touches.
Twitch, presumably.
Wrong.
Guess
Two more.
two.
YouTube. Nope.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Oh gosh, live.
Wrong.
Millions of
We're
Tender
not live
Touches fans
yet.
are depending on
Microsoft
this.
Live.
A small outdoor stage in a park for an audience of four.
Whoa. Yeah, we're in Griffith Park celebrating 8 years of Tender Touches, Brad.
Sorry, Brad. We're on Owls Only podcast right now.
Oh wow! I'm vaguely familiar.
Big fan.
Yeah, I'm a ginormous fan. So we're doing an episode about Tender Touches right now, and I got Max and Dave on, and we're talking about like I was thinking we could do the first season of Tender Touches, but also like it's more discussion about like the show in general. It's great to have you here, Bradley.
Yeah, I figured if he was going to be on, he should be on the phone.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. How do you do this? Do you have like a big stack of index cards with questions prepared, or do you just like wing it?
I have a Google document open with question with like a couple questions, and below it are questions I asked Nick Gibbons last night about As Seen on Adult Swim.
So Dave, now you and I can just leave and
Yeah.
Brad can talk to Bryce the whole time.
Finally, he's got all the answers. There's this
Bless
dude who
you.
wrote this review that pissed me off. So this is a review, it doesn't have a name, but it says garbage. The show is cheap on every level. The voice acting sounds like they didn't rehearse at all, and some of the voices sound like they're coming through a telephone. The animation is equally bad. I don't want to hear excuses like the low quality is intentional because that's a terrible defense. There are plenty of better options to choose from out there. It's strange how trash like this gets accepted by Adult Swim, but shows like Hellbenders by Chris O'Neill and
Okay.
Zack Hader get
All right.
rejected. Hellbenders wasn't
Well, you know,
amazing, but it would have been 10 times better than this abortion.
all right.
Oh,
I'm
actually,
going
that's
to say, you know what? No, no, no,
2020.
no, no.
Cartoon Man 2020.
Well, that's the
The
year of COVID.
silent majority love the program.
Was that like, what is that,
I
the
don't know if
Trumpers?
you,
Aren't they the
yeah,
silent majority?
is that a bunch of MAGATs? They loved it.
probably because I don't know if you recall, but in our time slot, we did outperform Seth Meyers. So more people are watching our show than his show.
Well, because
That's
he's got
true.
that classic repetitive libtard humor, but Tender Touches comes in with the anti-woke takes like
arugula.
arugula.
Cleveland show.
Cleveland show.
Yeah, ex
Or that one
exactly.
episode where Steve goes, Curtis, why'd you print all my hentai on this toilet paper?
Yeah. Well, there is the flight attendant stewardess joke.
Oh, that's true.
That
Yeah,
is
where
pretty
I,
anti-woke. Yeah, it's a
yeah.
I don't
general joke.
remember that
Brad,
one.
we both forgot that joke. Bryce doesn't remember it. I remember it now. Can you explain it?
Yeah, it's season 2, episode 1. Dave said Dave calls for a stewardess, and Max says, "No, it's flight attendant." And I say, "Is it air hostess?" That's the
And then
exchange.
the punchline is a black man shows up. It's not even a woman. It's a
The
different
worst.
joke.
I
It's
don't even remember like a scene with an airline being in Tender
that's what
Touches.
it's 201.
Yeah, 201. They're flying to their island now. Vivi, get off the keyboard.
Also, to bring it back around to that IMDb review, like I know people, some people
I
don't
am
like,
BB.
yeah, I don't know. I know some people don't like the improvisational tone or whatever, but saying the animation is bad is just fucking wrong because the show looks beautiful. Like the character designs are amazing. I know that's the art style, not the animation, but like I feel like the vast majority of IMDb commentators don't know the difference between animation and art style. And if they're saying the art style is ugly, then they're fucking lying because it's not. Like it's beautiful.
No, the
Well,
only thing they
I
like
agree
is
with you, Bryce.
weird lizard-like pseudo-furry creatures from Hazbin Hotel who all look like strange aliens you could fuck.
Is
And
that
nobody in
Hellbenders?
Tender Touches is hot. I think that's what they don't like.
Yeah, I think we're
Are
just
they
talking about
lizards?
Hazbin Hotel now.
No, they
Bradley, have
just
you seen
look,
Hazbin
they have
Hotel?
weird. Yeah, did we talk about Hazbin Hotel last time, Bryce?
Did we?
I found out my
What is
cousin
that?
loves it.
What is it? Is it Gen
I.
Z's shit?
It's extremely millennial shit, actually,
Oh,
because
yeah, that's what I meant, actually.
if you watch it, it has the exact sense of humor of like millennial like Tumblr from like 2012, and it
It's
feels
like
like a
halfway
fucking relic.
between what was the show, the live action devil show? Now I feel like an
Your pretty
idiot.
face is going to hell.
Your
Your
Pretty
pretty
Face is
face.
Going to Hell and a Disney movie, and then
Huh.
It's
Wow.
drawn well.
And then it's
But is it an
drawn.
in it's like on a website or is it on
It was
TV?
indie and it got picked up by Prime, I
Which
think.
is
Oh,
cool. I
wow.
think that's the cool aspect of it. I think it's cool that something that was like an indie animation got to, be an Amazon Prime series. But it
That
ain't
is
great.
cool. That's all
You
right.
know what's cool when they made a TV show based on a phone call?
Yes, that's much cooler.
You mean
I
Tender
don't.
Touches?
Yeah.
So yeah, the show started as an improvisational
segue.
Brad was on the phone.
Yeah. So after you guys did that first episode and sort of edited it into something you would air at, did it air at midnight or 4 a.m.?
12:30.
Right. The plan was to do it at 4 a.m., but then Mike Lazo, who was the head of the network at the time, he said to make more of them.
Okay. So when you
happened, Max? I'm looking at your face. You're like,
yes. Right. So the idea, well, the idea at first,
you're like, why you're making that face? Like I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. It's because I'm clicking something to try and not listen to myself for once in my life. I would rather not listen to myself. And now I think it works. Okay. But so what happened is he heard us perform it live, do it live. We did it live, and
he called it Property Brothers.
He called it. I love that Property Brothers idea you done did. And that's all because Dave had this great improv, which harkened back to his internship at Home and Garden TV or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And he's like, back in and then I was quoting Dave when I said that was back in 2008, because I always thought it was so funny when Dave was specific about early 2000s numbers. I thought that to me was funny. And so I'm like, yeah, that was 2008. Anyway, he listens to this live, and because he's twisted in the head and maybe he's just like tired of like, why do I have to pay? And this is not a specific thing he said, but he's like, why do I have to pay someone like Dan Harmon hundreds of thousands of dollars for a script when I had these two assholes two rooms over making me laugh? We should just make this a show. So he comes to me, he's like, animate it. And I'm like, okay. I grab Lauren by the elbow and I'm like, Lauren, start drawing. And then I'm having interns do mouth lip flap while I'm in Fish Center. And then I come back and finish it while we're just making this thing in After Effects and Flash. We
also,
pull out an episode
whole,
and he asked
the whole
for more.
Actual cartoon aspect of it, I don't think I was really even involved with. I was out of town for most of that.
I think you were. I was just like, we need to make this fucking happen right now. Yeah. So I did.
Your Lazo impression is terrifying, by the way.
What did he say?
Your Lazo impression is terrifying. Everyone I've talked to who works at Adult Swim or has worked for Adult Swim has a Lazo impression. Like I interviewed Doc Hammer and Jackson Public, and they had a Lazo impression. Nick Gibbons had a Lazo impression. Yours is just scary.
Well, mine's because it's accurate, and I reflect the horror of real life.
I was in a freelance job interview, and I did a Lazo impersonation, and I said maybe I shouldn't do Lazo impersonations in job interviews anymore.
Whoa!
But I got to
depends
call
on
that.
What job you're interviewing for. I would hire you. I'd hire you on the spot if your Lazo impression was good enough.
It could be misconstrued though,
as being anti-redneck.
Yeah, anti. You know, I don't know, whatever. Good,
here's a free joke you can use in real life. Next time somebody mentions Ted Lasso, wait like a day or two and then say, what's that show you like, Mike Lazo?
That is a good joke for real life. But yeah, so he saw the first episode, we're making it, and I remember I brought in Harrigan and Hughes to give me notes. Maybe Dave was there too, and I remember Hughes was kind of like, maybe you should cut to other characters. And then Dave and I think we Dave Bonowitz and I both were like, no. It became like, because I got to a point where I was overthinking, and I was like, I gotta put Vinny Pucci and the Pizza Baby in this now, because we gotta now stretch it out and make it a different show. But then I think we realized that's not it. Let's keep it what it is, and just keep it this real simple, self-contained world with three characters who talk too much. And then Mike Lazo asked for four more, and then we did that three times, and then he retired.
So
the big, if he didn't, we'd still be doing it. We'd be on season like 7 right now, I bet, if he was not retired.
The interesting thing too is, since we recorded that whole episode, first episode, as one take, we used music from YouTube that we would just, you know, play during the live broadcast. So we had to try to get rights from some Korean guy who's playing piano. Yeah, and I think we succeeded.
We did, but there's some stuff we had to remove. And
some stuff I had to like make sound that sounded like it, and I just laid it on top. I couldn't even remove it. There was no AI.
If only we had AI. Yeah, if only we had AI.
This is all pre
AI. People say AI is bad, but it would have made Tender Touches easier.
This is all pre Sora.
Of like all the fucking like shenanigans that would happen on like a modern day Fish Center if there was because of AI. Like that would change the fucking game. Like, because you guys already played around a lot on Fish Center with you, whenever, like, if Matt wasn't there or something, like he was out of town, you would just play a bunch of clips and make it sound like Matt was actually there. And so I can't imagine like how much the game would have been fucking changed if AI was around when you
Yeah,
guys were doing Free Center.
Sequel would sound like a regular guy now.
Yeah, we just use 11 labs and write a script.
I applied for a job.
And do a week of Fish Center with a script where it's only AI voices doing all four of us from
I applied
11
for
labs.
I applied for a job at 11 labs as a content creator. I didn't get
what
it.
What did they say? No.
They're just like, lame.
Did you send them the clip I made of Tender Touches in Korean? Maybe they would have gotten
No, I didn't. I want to take a quick break here to give a quick promotional shout out to Smart Whale, the smart bidet toilet seat. Personalized settings, adjust your water pressure and water temperature, nozzle spray seat temperature for a personalized experience. Eco mode and instant hot water, electricity saving up to 60%. There's four washing modes. If you have different family members that need different modes, there's a female wash, a rear wash, power wash, and a child wash. Meets the needs of the whole family. I'll talk more about it later. The Smart Whale.
We're also sponsored by Fabletics Men. Psst! You've just been gifted early access. You can save on everything at Fabletics. So shop now for first dibs. Fabletics.men.tv/L/capital P lowercase i 0/capital M lowercase b capital y capital o capital g. Yes, everything is on sale, even the new drop. Don't miss your last chance to save big. It's back. Cadence Short. Sweat wicking, reflective, ultra lightweight, new colors. Shop now at Fabletics Men.
Shout out Kevin Hart.
Also, vegetable steamer bags, pre-sliced vegetables in a bag. You put it in the microwave, and they will steam. They'll often include potatoes and zucchinis.
Are you getting these from Fresh Direct?
I'm getting these from the store.
Do you like it, Brad, now that you can just swipe your credit card in New York City to go on the subway?
You know, I honestly would go back to tokens. I'm not even kidding. It's practical.
Can you not
Brad,
do it by
still
phone?
Are you still a substitute teacher?
Oh, let's get on that. Yeah, let's get some fun back behind the scenes stories. I mean, Bryce, ask one of your questions, but then we got funny stories about what it was like to call Brad, and then I'll hang up on Brad when he's in the middle of answering the third question.
Basically, what I was going to ask is, after that first episode, did you guys write scripts, or did you come up with outlines and then just sort of like riff on those outlines until like 11 minutes was able to be like turned into an episode?
I think we came up with ideas that we turned into prose.
Yeah. Yes and okay. No. But it was also outlines in the beginning too, because it was also, Dave, it was based on, because we had already improvised like 5 to 7 episodes live, but half the joke of that was always like, we're starting over, we're fucking it up.
Yeah, we didn't really use much of that at all.
Yeah, stuff that we didn't use, but what we did use was the idea of, we used Ratman, but we used the idea of the second episode was a hospital. Then there was a courtroom scene. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this idea of like scenes.
I think you used the term set pieces at one point.
We used the term set pieces at one point. Things took place in locations that felt like were soap opera locations. That was like the idea in that first season.
That's good thinking.
And then the second season, we more had a plot idea about how our long lost sister wanted the family inheritance to do an ecological war.
You know, I
Ireland had a tax credit.
I recently watched season 2, episode 2. If that's the one that starts off with the foot licking and stuff.
Yeah,
great episode.
Watch it, like,
I think that's
just because.
I think there was like a line in there that was in my head and I wanted to find it. And I don't even know if I found it. I don't remember what line it was, but I just watched that whole episode and I was like, this is a friggin' good show. Thematically, it's all tied together.
Yeah,
new love and old love. Has the beautiful trip scene at the end.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny.
Yeah, I
is that
think,
one, the next think... episode's when Steve works at the bar. Second episode's great though. Yeah, he's Charlene and you are having a tiff. Meanwhile, Steve is meeting Michelle, ooh, and they're talking about dinosaurs and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, Brad, we called you at a lot of weird times in season 1.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is at the end of season 1 when the characters are doing a spy-like infiltration into the dodecahedron that's by the Shiner Temple, where the county has been siphoning Curtis's sadness into energy. During that infiltration, you were working a substitute teacher job, and you kept having to go into the bathroom and accidentally setting up the toilet to sneak off to record. And we thought this was very funny, and it was woven into the edit that Charlene leaves scenes and says, wait, sorry, guys. No, seriously, I can't talk right now when we're in the middle of infiltrating a building. Can you tell us your perspective on that and what happened from what you remember?
Yes, I was called. I was told that it was just a quick 30-minute thing. I think it took 90 minutes, and I was very lucky that I had, you know, back-to-back periods off, but there was the classroom was taken in the second half. So about 30 minutes in, I'm scrambling, where can I go to record this? So Hang On is me running downstairs, going, seeing if rooms are empty, trying to find an empty room. And I think after checking two or three rooms, I ended up at, you know what, I think the only room I can go in here is the, you know, adult men's bathroom.
and it's funny because you play a woman in the show, and Charlene is in almost like exhausted, exasperated, like you're giving up, goes, I guess I gotta go in the men's room.
And you know, that was woven in. Because he drew the women's restroom as being out of order. But yes, and it was a very small restroom, and so unfortunately it was the urinal would auto flush, and so unless I stood in the exact right spot and didn't move, it would keep flushing.
Oh yeah, and there's literally a line that's like, wait, no, if I stand here, it won't flush.
I didn't know you were a substitute teacher when that was happening, Bradley. That makes it like even funnier.
We probably should have made this all clearer to the listener, the viewer, watcher.
Yeah. Still funny,
I don't know, but it's kind of fun to have something that's just for secret people.
You know what, though? So here's the thing about Tender Touches that I think I've always been a little defensive, because right when it was about to air, someone that worked at Turner Studios made a tweet about it.
Uh-oh.
And he said, everybody...
You're hitting a lot of the same beats as you did on the Harrigan interview, but go ahead.
Did I?
With this.
I don't know.
I
don't remember this at all. Bradley memorizing our talking points. Am I hitting the same beats too, Brad? Or am I novel?
But this one in particular and the bidet talk were both in the Harrigan.
Damn.
Anyway.
What do you mean the bidet talk?
Bidet
I didn't
talk?
Do a smart
you dropped
whale
that
ad.
Same ad.
I didn't do a smart. Dude, yeah, I just got. The smart
the
whale is a new
ad.
Thing in my life.
Yeah, smart it's whale.
Smart whale isn't even out yet, dude. And there's also wireless control with a smart remote that controls the bidet functions. And it's easy.
They didn't have the technology yet in 2020.
For convenience. Get your smart whale whenever it comes out. I'm not sure soon. But yeah, this dude at Turner Studios said that it was.
Do we know this dude?
I don't know this dude, but I know his name. But he
Does
said
he
it's
still work at Turner Studios?
I don't know. I have no idea. Probably not. Because
can this podcast get
because
him
of this,
fired?
There's about seven people that work at Turner Studios now.
Yeah.
But he said it's one of the biggest Adult Swim inside jokes. Or it's an inside joke or something. He called it an inside joke, which I felt was demeaning to me and my creativity.
It is. It is demeaning because, like, I watched that when I was, like, 17, and I knew about Fish Center. But, like, because I watched Fish Center a lot when I was, like, 15 or so. But I watched that,
so
and I
weird.
Thought it was funny as hell. Like, I had no idea. Like, I didn't really know it was connected to Fish Center because I was still a little ways away from, like, really getting back into, like, the stream stuff like that. But I just saw it as, oh, new animated Adult Swim show, I have to watch this, and I thought it was funny. So I don't think it only functions as a quote inside joke. I think it does function on its own as like a genuinely brilliant piece of comedy, especially like I posted some of the stuff on like my personal YouTube channel. I think I posted
Thank
the Cleveland show. I think I posted the Cleveland show bit because that's like one of the funniest bits from the show and that needs to like be preserved. And I've shown that to people who have no idea what the Adult Swim streams are. And they've like, you know, they've lost their shit laughing because like, it's funny. There's so many bits in there that are funny without knowing the context of the streams. The streams just adds like another layer to it, like another layer of the joke.
I think that guy was just too close to it.
He's too close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a new Cleveland show adjacent thought.
Well, let's get to that in about 2 minutes.
Audition? Okay. Did you audition to play Cleveland?
He auditioned to play Cleveland. Hi, everybody. I don't think it would just be what when
that
I
sounds
said
sounds like Dr. Nick.
You can't do Cleveland's voice. I have to edit that out now.
Okay, sorry.
You're gonna get canceled.
I remember, no, I don't remember. I like to say that I think everything we've made, and Tender Touches is a big part of this, I'm very proud of it, is something that I would have laughed at even if I didn't know anything else. And that's like the only real barometer I can have. It's like, I look at it and I'm like, I think this is funny. And that's why I helped make it this way, is because this is what I think is funny. Now, maybe what we think is funny is sucks, but that's all, you know, we can do.
I would have said, this is all stoner humor. It's just for stoners.
Yeah.
What were they
this
on?
If you're high on weed, maybe you'll like this, but otherwise, I don't like that.
What did they smoke when they made this show? What were you guys smoking when you made this show?
We were inventing Delta 9.
Delta 9's just like regular weed, I'm pretty sure.
We were inventing it, though.
We were going back in time. Let's see how this works. We were going back in time and crossbreeding the first marijuana plant.
Way back in 2005, I smoked I smoked Salvia Divinorum, and I started to feel really anxious, and these two entities mocked me and said, what did you think was going to happen, idiot? What do you think was going to happen, you dumbass? And then I tried to turn off the high by opening up my refrigerator door and turning on the stove and shit. And then
What do you mean by entities?
No, they're like... That's all I could describe them as. I couldn't see them, but there was two of them, and they were kind of facing each other, and I knew they were there.
Oh, your future son and future wife.
Maybe.
Well, I was on acid a year ago.
Really? You do that? Max, come on.
I did it.
Come on.
And someone was trying to bring me to Ponce City Market, and I was getting too scared, and I ran away and hid in my car.
Yeah, I can't blame you, man. I wouldn't even go in Ponce City Market.
And then I couldn't sleep all night. Because I kept laughing in the beginning.
Yeah, because you did acid.
And I couldn't sleep all night. I was sweating, so I started typing my short story science fiction, which I still think is a good idea, which is about a guy who's asked to code AI image generation that can get hands right. But the twist is, like, reaching the level where you get hands right is like a level of artificial intelligence that is like the precursor to the robots killing us all or something. Like, there's somebody stopping us from getting hands right.
Can Sora get hands right? That's a funny idea.
But the whole
I wrote was like about this like half Korean American in the Bay Area who always felt like his venture capitalist roommate in college used him and fucked better and fucked more, and he felt like this loser, but he would always do what this guy wants. It's almost like this sexual fascination, almost not, and he's kind of down in his luck in his late 20s, and the guy's back and he's like, hey, I need you to come do this project. And as much as he fucking hates him, he's like, dude, I always just do what this fucker wants. That's how.
Did you finish your short story?
No, I only wrote this part on acid, and then I stopped. But I'll send it to Dave someday.
More acid and keep doing it.
I need to make sure I don't go broke and die.
Yeah.
it'll probably take a little while to die after you go a few days.
But then yeah, so let's talk about this Cleveland. Let's talk about this Cleveland show moment, because that's a good other Brad. There's three other good Bradley moments we should bring up before we hang up on him.
The Cleveland show one.
Two, when we kept saying, okay, you're not on the show anymore, or what? Or no, but that's kind of tied in with, so I'll bring this one up. In season two, I kept yelling at you in an episode by saying you were saying sexist things, and you were kind of sensitive about it because you didn't know if I was joking or not. And that to me is also very funny.
Please don't do that, Max. Please don't do that.
Please don't do that. Which is, to me, is not something that's on shows a lot. So I appreciate you like weathering that storm, because it is abusive, but it's also kind of funny. It was
at the height of the cultural reckoning that we were in.
Like, Mike Lazo was being yelled at online all the time, and here I am being Bradley, you're playing a woman, you need to represent them better, and you're nervous because you're woke and you're affected by that virus.
Mike Lazo was fighting with the guy who created BoJack Horseman on Twitter at the time.
So I think at the point that you pulled that card, we had maybe done about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of the soaking in the jacuzzi hot tub such, and so it's at a point where I've said a bunch of things and nothing's been, you know, flagged on the spot, and they're all fine to me. And I listen to it, you know, now what made it in the episode, and it's all fine. And you start pulling out that, like, this is way out of line. This whole scene is a disaster.
I'm gaslighting you, going, like the movie Gaslight.
I didn't do anything that I haven't done before. What is being flagged here? And I did, and I think that you sort of, you harped on like just the making of the sexual noises, which I don't think is.
I think it was a bubble. It wasn't
a bubble.
You're like sitting on the bubbles. Yeah, just because you have your own insecurities, I think, and shame. And that, and I was hitting it somehow, and that felt funny. And I'm sorry, but it was funny.
It is very funny.
Yeah. Well, I also I do really like the role, and for both that and
like
off
the
show. Yeah, I like the role. Those are season premiere things, and so right off the bat, it's sort of like, oh, it's not like we've recorded it all. It's very easy to go, nah, scratch it. He's out. You know, so that anxiety is there.
Well, then it's not like
Adult Swim shows get rid of their main voice actors, though.
Yeah, it's never happened. And it never happen. Season three, we tried to do something similar where Curtis and you get divorced. And then we said, as we say in Hollywood, that's a wrap on Bradley, because we really wanted you to think you were fired.
You know what would have been great?
Yes.
No. You know what would have been great is if you had you actually gone through with writing me out a divorce off the show, but I still got like second or third billing in every episode, the same way that Cheryl continues to get on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's true.
Well, but the thing was, our producer at the time, the line producer, said we can't legally like schedule him for voiceover recordings and not tell him about them. Like, just in case you like sued us or something, like, you know, it's not that like it's the law is you have to
what
do
if?
It this way. It's just a protection. And it was kind of stepped on the gag, but it's still kind of
worked. Episodes 3 and 4 of season 4. So episodes 3 and 4 of season 4. No, sorry, season 3. Episodes 3 and 4 of
episode
season 3.
Season 4.
Right. Episodes 3 and 4 of season 3 are the episodes where there was no scheduled recording session and I was called out of the blue. And so episode 4 is the episode that I don't have lines in. I think that the gag only worked once, but the thing is that I had to sign off on contracts for both of those sessions. But those were, I think, just 10-minute phone calls out of the blue, unplanned, very unclear. And so everything in episode 3 of season 3 was not a traditional recording session. That's a phone call that I got on the spot. And then episode 4, whatever was recorded, I guess lightning in a bottle, because none of that made it in.
I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But let's talk about this Cleveland show moment, and then mid your explanation, I will hit the hang up button.
Yeah. It's all there in the show.
Anyway, I thought it would be great to have Brad on a little bit.
I do think that first season is definitely a lot looser and a lot more improv. And then seasons 2 and 3 do feel like they have more going on, especially season 3 has that like really ominous, like pink noise shit, which is like, that was interesting to me. Cause it almost kind of felt like 12 ounce mousy in the sense where it's like, where the fuck is this going to go? This feels more like serious and creepy than you'd expect from like a William Street show. But I like it. I like all the pink noise stuff.
I think it was probably Lost inspired.
It was Lost inspired. And it was something that, like, I think Lazo and Harrigan were both like, we need something there. And then I think Dave and Lauren and I, we should have brought Lauren on for this.
We could use 11 Labs to use Lauren's voice.
I don't know. That doesn't sound funny to me.
Okay, so we're back. 2 weeks have definitely not passed. And we are talking about Tender Touches. And I think when we left off, Max... Oh, yeah, also, we have... the third creator of Tender Touches here, Lauren Payne. You did you're the other third of the three people who created the show. So like you were involved with a lot of like the design stuff, weren't you?
Yeah, most of it.
Cool. Max, I think when we left off, we were talking about like the potential log lines for season 4.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I have those somewhere. Yeah. Lauren worked really close with me in the beginning, in the first season. She was drawing characters that I would then put into After Effects, and her aesthetic defines the show, but she was also a writer.
And After Effects, what is that?
After Effects is an Adobe program where you can do.
Did you use Generative Fill?
No, I didn't. That wasn't out yet, but we
really
would. We would.
That,
we
that
would
long
use
ago?
It now. We oh would use it God. Now. We would actually make the whole show with it. In fact, to
Seven
save
years,
money,
right?
We're doing only Generative Fill. Okay, season four. Series out, season outline. After a cataclysmic event, our crew of main characters, which is Curtis, Charlene, Steve, and Taishi, navigate strange new communes and environments across the nation on their way to find cherries in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, you read that. Four people are going across the country to get cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Our feedback we had gotten was that you needed to know too much. Now, I think the base setting was four people who are kind of funny going to Cleveland to get cherries. What else do you need to know? Nothing.
Yeah, I don't see that. Like, I mean, like, Metalocalypse just had their movie, and that movie is incomprehensible unless you've watched, you're like super into like the lore or whatever. It's like, there's no, also the internet exists and people like, you know, can catch up on a TV show. You can catch up on Tender Touches in like 3 hours.
You also just don't need to. You could, the whole world ended at the end of season three.
Yeah.
You just start over. We got four funny characters.
I think also based on some of the conversations, we were going to actually write some dialogue, right?
Yeah.
Like we're going to actually write it for season four.
That's usually how it goes. That's a natural progression of any show that's like mostly unscripted, like Curb Your Enthusiasm and home movies.
Yeah. I think if we do want to talk about some of the, I do
love how this show looks. I think like this show does look very different from anything else on Adult Swim, but it's like, it's cute. It's cute in a way that a lot of Adult Swim shows aren't cute, I think. But it also still like lends itself to being like really funny, like especially with like the facial expressions lend themselves to being like really funny. But I do think it is like the art style is cuter compared to, I think, like a lot of Adult Swim shows like of its time. And I love the coloring too. I love like the it feels like Mission Hill, which I think I said last time, where it's like the blue, using like the blue to represent like black hair and stuff like that. I just love like all the coloring and the background and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like in Homestar Runner when they said you gotta have blue hair. So yeah, I definitely really like the color palette of Mission Hill, and I actually like messaged the colorist from Mission Hill. Sorry,
oh, wow.
About the record. On like LinkedIn, but she never responded to me.
Oh yeah, this Mission Hill is, you can definitely see that influence, but also like the type of show that it is so different that it doesn't, like, you see the influence, but it doesn't feel too close to it, if that makes sense. But yeah. So the first two seasons you guys did the operettas after every episode. So that just come from like Blood Feast and like a lot of like the making up songs you guys would do on Blood Feast?
Dave knows the answer to this. I think it was a Lazo thing. I think originally I had an idea once, maybe Dave had it, because he's like, you should do a second version that's different, right? And I was like, well, what if Miley Cyrus played Charlene and that was the only difference? But that didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't. Was it his idea that we sang it?
It might be. I don't remember. He's like, you guys are always doing music. Play a fucking song.
He would sometimes come into my office and he'd be like, great episode last night. You got to sing more. He just really liked. I think that one time we sang Harry Nielsen's Without You on Blood Feast.
Yeah.
And I think that he was like, love that song. Love these guys' voices.
Was season? I think I remember seeing something about season four was supposed to be like longer than the normal five episodes. Were you guys gonna like?
Who said that?
Up a little bit? I remember seeing it on like Twitter or Instagram or something during around like the time of like the streams ending and stuff.
Yeah, it's probably incorrect.
Yeah,
really? Okay.
We were planning five episodes because we didn't. I mean, we wanted to pitch the bare minimum or what we'd done before, not bare minimum, but you know, keep it tight, precise. Yeah, the precedent was five. We're not going to push our luck and ask for more.
Yeah.
You know, we want to start somewhere that seems manageable for a low budget show that they were letting us make. It felt like sometimes, even though we like it a lot.
Bryce, do you know John Krasinski?
Yeah, I know John, like Jim from The Office. The
can you introduce us
guy.
To him?
Yeah, introduce us to Jim Krasinski.
Yeah,
I can see him being into Tender Touches, and then maybe he'll produce it.
And did he make movies about his deaf wife?
You can do more.
Voice Max's character instead.
Yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. I want John Krasinski to do
it. Oh, and then I could get Pam to be me.
Ooh, and we could get Liam Neeson to be Charlene.
John Krasinski will do the next season of Tender Touches if you set it all within the CIA.
Whoa, if really?
Curtis.
Because he wants to be a Jack Reach around.
Charlene all join the CIA, then maybe we can get John Krasinski on board and they can do like a shitty pandemic talk show about whatever.
Here's my
whatever
pitch to
did.
Amazon. Can you talk to Amazon about this pitch? It's the Jack Reacher creature feature, and it's Jack Reacher spinoffs where he fights the creature of the Black Lagoon and the Wolfman.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell my contact.
Thrillers. We gotta go find Medusa. We're going to Crete, and we're gonna fight the Minotaur with Jack Reacher. And it's like a spy thriller.
So
maybe in season four, Steve should be into this idea.
Would you guys say that like the pandemic in a roundabout way was like kind of the reason we didn't go forward with the fourth season?
No, it's because I got laid off.
Dave got laid off.
And then I threatened to sue because they wouldn't let me work on it. And then they're like, fuck it, let's just not work with this show anymore.
Well, I would argue that like the pandemic was, you know, one of the major contributing factors to digital getting dissolved in
It was the merger. The merger was number one.
Yeah.
The merger, everybody was going to get laid off regardless with the merger. I think the writing was on the wall. I think people who knew there was going to be some ultimate, as Andrew Cho would say, fuckery.
Whoa.
And yeah, the merger, and you know, everything's tied together. It's the plandemic, as you said.
Yeah.
I think the head honchos at Adult Swim, I think Tender Touches could only exist under a Lazo Adult Swim.
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot, where a lot of things could only exist under like a Lazo reign. And yeah, because like he did in a weird way, like make Adult Swim basically everything. It seemed like, I mean, I didn't work there obviously, it seemed like it all went through him, and because of that, like you will get like Mr. Pickles through to like the Venture Brothers in terms of like the different types of shows you would find on the network. Like it would just like the craziest stuff that probably wouldn't get greenlit anywhere else. And I do think that like Lazo was like a huge part of that.
I think he wasn't listening to what probably, you know, was just gonna make money or would just get high ratings. He was, you know, pushing an envelope.
Yeah, and, definitely.
I think our show sort of fell into this strange envelope pushing.
Yeah, we had kind of a radio play put together, and Lazo was like, animate it, let's put it on television.
I love the fact that everyone who's ever met Lazo has a Lazo impression. We talked about this last time. We're like, every single time someone has met Lazo, they have like a really good Lazo impression. But anyway, so we're talking about the operetta ones. Is there a reason why you guys stopped doing those for the third season?
Yeah, I don't think, I think it became a pain in the ass during the second season.
Yeah.
And then I don't think a lot of people really liked it as much as the first time. There's a huge difference. The first season was just me and Max hammering out songs for like a whole day.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of, you know, GCD. It was easy to sing over. The second time we hired an improvisational orchestra, which in theory sounds perfect, but they made much more experimental music and it was harder to sing over, and it was just less successful, I think, as far as just like watchability or listenability.
Yeah, I got you.
It's hard to make a show like as quote unquote sloppy as people might think it. Like the shows were made as talking.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of time that goes into the timing and even the simple animation when we couldn't afford too much. and all this stuff to make it work, to then come around and then reformat that with singing and make it work, is it's tougher than you'd think.
Oh, it definitely, go ahead.
I think too, like for that first season's operettas, we had, you know, I might be embellishing when I say a weekend, but we had maybe a week, I feel like, to complete that.
It was born of necessity.
Yeah. Whereas the second season, it was kind of a built-in idea, and we had more time, we had more resources, and we had more of an opportunity to like think about it or try to make it a certain way. And it just, you know, a lot of things I think that were successful about the show are just the discovering and kind of this flying at the seat of your pants kind of thing.
And leaning into that.
Is Max much quieter now?
Max is really quiet.
Yeah.
What did I do? Am I good now?
I don't know. Turn up your Scarlet or something.
What the hell? I'm not even on a Scarlet.
Well, you're quiet. Would you guys say it was like more work to do outlines?
Oh, there it is.
Get voice actors. Would you guys say it's more work to do outlines and then hire voice actors and sit with them for like 8 hours a day for a few days in a row and then have to piece together a show from that audio versus like just writing a script and having a lot less audio to edit?
I think it's different. Just different styles.
I don't know. I don't know what the hourly breakdown. I don't know what the hourly breakdown would be, but definitely.
And I don't think time always means more or less work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm asking you the questions like I'm the interviewer.
It's okay. You're good at doing this.
What do you think?
I mean, from my perspective, like I'm not much of an editor, so just the thought of having like just that gigantic pile of like random audio and having to, you know, fashion a cohesive story out of it sounds very difficult, and you also have to make it funny.
It's kind of fun though.
I do think with the operetta stuff, I do think that's like, I imagine it was incredibly hard to like have to convey all the same information that is conveyed in like a regular episode of the show while also making it like musical. So I can definitely see like why that would kind of get like annoying after a while, having to do that for like figure out like how to convey that information for like every single episode.
I don't really remember actually doing it too much, but I just know. I just know like at times we would just kind of like, because we had scripts, everything was transcribed and we'd try to sing along, but then sometimes like the cadence of what we were singing wouldn't match. So we just kind of like skip parts of the script or, you know, I don't know how much information we were really concerned about. It was more so just getting it so that it was a song. And two, yeah, because it was airing immediately afterwards. It was just really just one very long joke anyway.
Yeah.
So how, speaking of like the recording sessions, like Lauren was talking about with like the, like having to cut up all that like audio. So what are the Tender Touches recording sessions like look like? How long were they? Like did you get like, did you already schedule with Bradley ahead of time? Or like, did you know, when he was going to be available and that kind of stuff?
We kind of had to know sometimes, like we said, we couldn't completely surprise him in the end. And we'd schedule with other people and bring him in. And we'd normally just like do a scene and set aside, I'd say 2 to 4 hours for the scene and go through it or stop and start over and be clear about maybe what the goals we want are. Lauren would sit around in the scene, even if she wasn't voicing character, throw out line ideas. We'd get a bunch of just alts as we were going through. And just kind of feel it out as we go and find like kind of try to, the first season was way more loose, and in the second and third season, which I still think are very funny, like there was definitely like a beginning and end goal to hit, and then we would kind of build the skeleton of that and then throw in the parts we find funny in between.
Was there anything like on the level of like the Cleveland Show bit that you guys couldn't put in the show for like one reason or another?
Is the Branzino bit in, or was that cut?
I can't remember it off the top of my
head. Must have been cut.
I feel like I think it was the same episode as the Cleveland Show. Bradley also had a rant about Branzino, and none of us knew what it was. And he's like, it's always in Greek restaurants, or whatever he says. they always got Branzino. So that's the only one I can remember. You guys?
Well, this is from the first episode. It was like from Blood Feast, so this was never meant to go on television. But this line, like when I first heard the like the radio play for the first episode, I was like almost crying from laughing. Like I think it was a line like, I think Dave's character was saying to Steve, like, "You're never gonna see her perfect little pussy ever again."
Pretty little pussy.
Pretty little pussy. And then we had to change it to pistachio pie.
Because like, doesn't Lazo have something against the word pussy? Like
yeah, misogyny.
Well, I thought you couldn't say it on TV.
Tribidism.
No, I mean, like Aqua Teen says pussy all the time, and like Venture Brothers.
But yeah, but that's because one of their characters is a walking pussy. Wouldn't that be weird?
This is really, really sad, but I forgot Dave's character's name.
Curtis.
It's not Dave.
Carl.
Curtis.
Carl. Curtis.
I want to call them Max and Dave, so I always have to remind myself that their characters' names aren't Max and Dave too.
Yeah, I just straight up like was saying, "Oh yeah, Max's character, Dave's character."
Yeah,
I did not remember their names.
I don't. I think even for when we were doing the Blood Feast, yeah, we were doing the Blood Feast segment. I couldn't remember if I was Curtis or Steve.
Oh, you're Steve. I'm Curtis.
Yeah, that's in the first. I know that's in the first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm allowed in the first episode.
But they're such generic names. That's why they're hard to remember.
Yeah.
No one's attractive in the show. Everyone's ugly and boring, and that makes them beautiful.
I think it's Seinfeld.
I think it's important to note, though, for like season two and season three, I think they were each recorded in about 5 days, the bulk of it.
We would do a week. Okay. But we were working those whole days on the recording.
Because we flew people in to, you know, be part of the show. So we would basically have everyone in the room, even, you know, like Taishi would sit in the room even if he wasn't in the scenes. I think he was just trying to get a feel for what the hell we were doing.
Yeah.
So like we recorded most of that within a week, and then we would supplement, like if Ned was in the office, I think we did Ned's scenes maybe not during that week. Yeah. Or you know, we would do like sometimes we just needed a line to like kind of bridge a conversation bridge. So we'd record a line, or there's one, sometimes like I would watch a show and I would just know that my one line wasn't improvised. I'm like, I wonder if anyone else knows that this is a bridge line.
Yeah.
If anyone finds it, I will give you $20.
I don't think PayPal. I know off the top of my head.
All right. Well, if someone finds it.
We confessed, tweet at me. Confessed it in season two, because I feel like confessed. In season one, I felt like I was stubborn about adding anything. It wasn't even active stubbornness. Maybe it came out that way. But in my head, I was like, no, why would we ever record an additional line? And
yeah.
And in retrospect, that's so stupid.
But it's cool, though. It was that punk aspect of it.
Yeah, like high concept.
It was our Dogma 95 manifesto, which we should have made a manifesto,
yeah,
really.
We should have made a Maxifesto. We should have called and then
had the manifesto air before the show, so people could know that it was more of a state. An intentional. Everything was intentional.
So like, it could have been like the beginning of South Park. We say this show was completely improvised as a art. Maybe we should have even had more of a high concept thing. Was like the Hartford, Connecticut Foundation for the Arts recorded these conversations as an improvised play in 1983.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, fuck.
Let's pitch that.
No, I like that.
The Farmington Jewish Community Center.
No,
staged
I like that.
A production of.
Well, that was a big thing in music. Like this guy Jürgen Mueller. Oh. It was like a lost album that came out in the 80s, and this like German guy who recorded all these songs about the ocean. And then this label re-released it, but it wasn't. It was just this guy named Panna Bright, who was just like an electronic artist who just made up a cute little story. And then Ursula Bogner too. Ursula Bogner was supposed to be an elderly woman that recorded electronic music, but that was just Jan Jelinek.
Wait, hold on. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I hear you. Is that Bryce?
Yes. The green light wasn't lighting up, so I wasn't sure if you guys could hear me or not.
Oh my God. Are we still recording?
Yes, we are. I see the recording button. We're good.
Okay.
Wait, there's a...
Who's that?
That was Anna. Did you hear about Garth Brooks pretending to be Chris Gaines with an album for a movie that never came out? That reminds me of that.
I didn't realize there was a movie, but I knew
that was
Chris
like
Gaines.
Apparently he said it was gonna be. He made this album for a movie about the life of Chris Gaines, where he was Chris Gaines. It was very weird, but it reminds me of that. But I also wanted to speak on. You were talking about like having just Taishi in the room, and you bring up Ned. It did lend itself to having moments where people were just in the room, and a funny accident would happen. I think one of my favorites in the first episode of season three is Steve and I. I'm Steve. And Dave and I do a scene where we're talking about his divorce and we're eating chicken wings. It's like, oh, we're great brothers. He loves flats. I love singles. What are they called? Singles, flats, wings,
drums. I think.
And then I'm like, we're going to go to French Canada. And we, and our server in this scene is Ned, who's kind of weirdly improvising with us and being weird and then kicked off the scene. And I'm like, let's go to French North America. Yeah. And then we're there in French Canada walking around. And Ned walks back in because in the record, we never said you're done. And we had to clarify, why are you here? Which is the kind of reality breaking that I liked in it when the accidents of improv are. Yes, we should have said this was part of a dementia case study.
Dementia study, yeah.
Also, I mean, Troy, I don't even think he was supposed to be in it. He just was hanging there. Out. He traveled from Australia.
He was in it. Who was he?
He was the waiter.
Oh.
And we're like, all right, Troy, you're in the room. Just be a waiter.
So... Max, you were working on Tender Touches a lot of the same time you were working on Gemuseru. I know the first like Gemuseru season was very like it's much its own thing. When you were working on like season two, which was like 11-minute episodes, like how was that? How was your experience working with Gemuseru versus working on like Tender Touches?
I thought Gemuseru already happened, that podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already talked about it. Don't ask me this fucking question again.
I remember when we were doing the operettas for season two, you were writing, I think, season one and of Gemuseru.
Like in the recording?
In the recording.
Squidward. He's something.
There we go.
Matt? Is Matt here?
Legendary soundbite.
But yeah, I think you're pretty locked into that.
Sorry.
I think you had some deadlines.
I mean, that was like, yeah, quick turnaround thing. I definitely had a bunch of deadlines.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's Tender Touches, guys. Like, I don't know. I feel like we got through a lot of my questions in like the first half of this. I'm going to heavily edit this, obviously. Which like normally
it's going to be like a Tender Touches episode to edit.
Yeah,
honestly.
I'm gonna
you've
heavily
gotta slapdash
edit this.
A bunch of shit.
But I honestly, I think we got through like most of my questions. I really don't have any more unless you guys have like more stuff you want to talk about from like the
It was one of the most fun things I've ever worked on. And this team brought me a lot of joy. I loved our little writer sessions. I loved the recording sessions. I loved the editing. Every part was a joy. And that's something I don't feel when I look at screen grabs of Has-Been Hotel on Amazon Prime.
Where is it streaming? It's on like Tubi or something? I think it's on Tubi.
I think it's just on AdultSwim.com. I think they took it off of Tubi.
They took it off Tubi?
Why?
Oh, here's another thing. Here's another thing that pissed me off.
Another thing.
Here's another thing that Adult Swim pissed me off with. So
it's on Sling. It's on Sling TV.
Oh, great. It's on Sling TV.
Oh, right,
so
up the ass.
Ji-Young's like of it. My wife, Ji-Young, who worked at Adult Swim, she was like, oh, yeah, they're getting Tender Touches localized because they're going to put it on HBO Max. And I'm like, oh, great. And then they had a date when Tender Touches was going to be on HBO Max. And then that date came and went and it wasn't there. So then I emailed JJ and I was like, where's the show? I thought it was going to be on HBO Max. And he's like, oh, yeah, the higher ups decided they didn't want to put it on.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
Now nothing's on HBO Max.
That's true. Gemuseru was going to be the last thing on HBO Max in like 15 years when all the streaming services have failed. It's just going to be like, it's just going to be both seasons of Gemuseru on Max.
That's it.
Because I couldn't even get that grassroots campaign to save Tender Touches from being written off by Warner Media.
Yeah.
I don't think it's written off. I think you can still find
it. Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. Not,
it cost
as
much as Batgirl. It cost as much as two Batgirls and one Batcup. Great joke. Let's think about... I was going to say that there was a localization released on HBO Max Central or South America.
Yeah, Latin America, yeah.
Which is very funny.
Which is cool. I'm happy that that existed, but... I didn't have it to look at or show, you know.
And I got to talk with this lady. I don't know if she works with Warner Media in France anymore, but she, like, we ended up talking because she and I ended up asking her, can I get these French subtitled Tender Touches episodes so I could show my dad, because I don't know if he knows what channel you're putting it on. And she got them for me, and I thought that was fun.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm scrolling through the Game Useru page on Max, and like none of the season 2 episodes have thumbnails except for the 4th episode. Like,
that's so weird.
They don't have thumbnails. They just say Game Useru season 2 episode 1 and like so on. But yeah, you can find Tender Touches on Sling. I feel like, is the first episode on YouTube? I feel like the first episode's on YouTube.
I don't know why they're not all on YouTube.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they should all be on YouTube. They're all on the Adult Swim app.
They should all be on Twitter, too, because I saw someone posted the entire movie Airheads.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Yeah,
season
we must have...
Season 1, you can buy season 1 on YouTube.
I posted the Cleveland Show bit and the Don't Put This Part in the Show bit on YouTube, so you can find
those. Did it go viral? Did they go viral?
No, no.
Did it go viral?
Most of the views are from me.
Rewatching.
Yes.
Lauren, what's your post-mortem on Tender Touches? Dave, stop it.
Sorry,
my mouse stopped working. Post-mortem? I mean, when I look back on it, it does feel like a bit of a time capsule for me because I was like, I don't know, 24, 25 when it started. So like, I don't look back on it. I don't feel particularly proud of how it looks. I guess it was like, you know, on paper, like an accomplishment, but...
I think it looks great.
I've changed and evolved a lot since then. So I don't feel like it really represents the kind of work I do now, but it's cool that I got to do it. And I learned a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of work do you do now?
I do stuff for the CDC.
Oh, nice.
Cool. That's awesome. I personally think I love the way the show looks. I've said it like a million times in this episode already, but like I adore like the colors and the art style of the show. I think it's adorable, and I think like I feel like that contrasts with like, you know, like a lot of the stuff you guys are saying like in a really funny way. But Tender Touches, if you're listening to this, go check it out. Great show. Yeah, it's just nothing else to say about it. It's amazing. It's a great show.
Check it
out.
What's
your favorite episode?
Yeah, what's your favorite episode, bitch?
I'm very partial to the Cleveland Show bit, so it might be that one.
Oh, season 2, episode 4?
I thought, isn't episode 5? Is it episode 4?
Episode 5?
I always thought it was the season 2 finale, but I always watch them as a piece. Like, I always watch, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch all 5 episodes of Tender Touches of, like, per season. And I never, like, sit down and watch them, like, individually. I'm always like, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch, like, all of it, like, right now.
You're weird.
What's your favorite subtextual theme of Tender Touches?
And is subtextual, Spanish for pencil lapis?
Subtextual theme of Tender Touches. You're putting me on the spot here. I'm going to see if I can actually think of one.
Hey, what are the themes in general? What do you think they are?
Infidelity.
Yes.
That's one. Cleveland Show. Another theme.
It's not a theme. It's wrong. It's a motif.
Franking Bradley. Could that be a theme?
I would say a theme is
Breaking Bradley.
Breaking Bradley. Breaking Brad.
Do you think if Tender Touches kept going, Brad would have broken through into a career?
No, of course he's about to anyway.
He has one of the funniest voices of all time, and I think that's also another like huge reason why this show clicked so much with me, because I think Bradley's voice is just so fucking funny. And I think that's like I feel like his voice being as funny as it is, it is like weird that he doesn't have like more roles and stuff.
You know, I wonder if we just got Sage to play the role of Charlene, because we just randomly took a call. So if we got like a boring Charlene, would have Tender Touches? I wonder if that was part of Lazo's appreciation, just getting this wiry guy on the phone.
It's truly like it's an amazing voice. Like I can't. Yeah, I do wonder like what Tender Touches would look like if like Bradley wasn't the person who like answered that call that day.
It's not just infidelity, it's about family. It's very much about family. It's about masculinity between the two brothers and their own definition of male adulthood. And I would say it's also about what does it mean to self-actualize for a group of mediocre people who take themselves seriously?
I think now that I'm also thinking about it, like that show I was talking about last time with you guys, the Royal Crackers show that's on Adult Swim, the two main characters are like brothers, and they do that reminds me of Tender Touches a little bit. Like they have like kind of a similar-ish dynamic. It's very different, but also just like it gives me a little bit of Tender Touches vibe. Just
you're saying
like
they ripped us off.
Dynamic. Yes. Jason Mraz ripped you guys off.
Was there also a Rick and Morty thing about two brothers? Is that why we didn't call it Two Brother?
Yeah, that's why we didn't call it Two Brother singular, because there was a Two Brothers, which it's also an improvisy bit.
Yeah.
That was one of like their season one improv bits, which they don't do anymore. And I think Rick and Morty is a little bit better for it. But yeah, so were you guys ever contacted about replacing Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
Max and Dave.
Yeah, we were contacted, but we both said
didn't want to do it. Yeah, both said no.
I said I didn't want to carry the torch for a sex offender.
God, it's so awful. All that shit is so bad.
You know, one time at one of the upfronts, Lazo introduced me to Dan Harmon, and Lazo's like, "This is Dave. He works on Fish Center." And then Dan Harmon was like, "Cool." It's just funny.
Dave, are you aware?
Saddest story you've ever said, and the way you said it was sad.
Dave, are you aware of the Dave Land thing from Smiling Friends? Because for the longest time, I thought, like, we all thought it was about you, because like we didn't know what involvement like the Smiling Friends guys had about William Street, and so for the longest time it was like a running joke in the Adult Swim Discord where we talked about you were like the Dave from Dave Land, because he looks exactly like you. Like the drawing looks exactly like you.
Either it is on purpose, or Dave just looks exactly like his name.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good basic middle ground look for my name.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, everybody, let's recommend what we're watching right now. Lauren first.
I've been watching Star Trek the Next Generation for the first time.
TNG. Yeah.
What do you think about it?
It's nice. It's episodic. I mean, I like kind of slow burn episodic stuff like that.
I fucking love TNG, and I think that TNG is so well suited to, like, I think Star Trek is really well suited to like an episodic like TV format like that. And that's why I think I've been watching the Seth MacFarlane Star Trek ripoff show, and it's just him earnestly doing like making his own like modern day TNG episodes, and it's awesome. It's so cool. But yeah, I love TNG.
What's Dave watching?
I've been watching Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown. I think that show, those guys who made that knew what they were doing, and every show has a distinct look and feel to it. I just watched Lagos,
Nigeria.
Yeah, man, it's all like they shot a bunch of it on film. Just like really get to the things that make these places interesting. I'm playing Hot Wheels Unleashed for PlayStation 5.
Oh, with your son or on
with my
own?
Boy.
Dave, I remember we were together when we found out that
Dane
died. Like, we were in Japan eating like the most disgusting meal ever.
Yeah.
This like fake Italian restaurant at Tokyo Disney Sea, and like one of us like had our phone out. I was like, oh, Anthony Bourdain just committed suicide.
Yeah. What a bummer of a meal that was.
Yeah.
Apparently the food was so bad.
Too, it was confusing. We had to pay with tokens that they gave us. I couldn't understand exactly how it worked.
Fascists.
Yeah.
Max, what are you watching right now?
I've been seeing some episodes of RuPaul Drag Race.
My roommates love that.
I
want
to watch the Gentleman
that.
TV show on Netflix, but I don't have Netflix, so I'm going to have to find a way, wink, wink, watch the Gentleman TV show, see if it's as good as the movie, which I enjoyed. I thought was very funny.
For me, in terms of like stuff that's on weekly, I'm watching World Crackers because I have to watch every Adult Swim thing. I as part of people of my generation are also like held hostage by attachment to The Walking Dead. So I'm watching that Walking Dead show spinoff. It's about the protagonist that
I didn't
left the
even
main
know that
show.
existed.
Yeah, it's not good, folks. It's really bad, but I'm held hostage by it. I'm watching Curb weekly, of course, final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then for stuff I'm binging, I just watched Barry for the first time, HBO's Barry. It's okay, Delocated's better.
Why
I
do you say
watched.
it? What's the, what is the, are they both witness protection or something?
It's more like it's kind of a similar, there's similar themes to it, where there's also a lot of like there's Chechen mobs in both shows that are trying to kill like the main character who's like trying to become famous. It's kind of like a description of both shows, but I think that Barry can be just like a little bit just eh. I think Delocated's a better show, honestly. Oh, I do appreciate how
Hot
Barry like
take.
speed runs. I do appreciate how Barry like speed runs the Breaking Bad storyline, though. I think that's kind of fun. I've been watching, like I said, the Seth MacFarlane Star Trek ripoff show, The Orville. That's actually really good because it's just Star Trek, but it's funny sometimes, which is really fun. I watched Evangelion for the first time. I'm rewatching it. I watched the Netflix dub. Now I'm watching the good one because I'm seeing End of Eva in theaters this weekend. And I'm re making my roommates watch The Venture Brothers because they've never seen it. And The Venture Brothers is like my favorite thing of all time, so I'm making them watch it. And that's
It's
pretty
like
much
one
what
of the
I'm
Adult
doing.
Swim things that I actually watch.
The Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the movie?
I haven't watched the movie. I like haven't finished the show. I need to finish it. I never got to like season five.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, I guess I'll let you know what I think of it when I get there.
I think the movie is amazing. But yeah, I fucking love the Venture Brothers. I'm probably gonna do the Venture Brothers on here soon. I've been like waiting to cover it because I've also haven't done this show in like a really long time. But I've been waiting to cover it because it's like I think the single most important piece of media to me. And it's like, how do I even like begin to cover it? I did get to interview the creators though, because I write for Swimpedia. And so we did an interview with those guys about like a 21st. We did about like the 21st anniversary of the pilot. So I got to do like a Zoom interview with Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick, which was like insane. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have
Awesome.
anything else.
Don't think so.
I really liked Dune 2.
Dune 2 was good. I just saw Dune 2. That was a banger.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. And we completed all of the races in Hot Wheels Unleashed, and then we just got the Looney Tunes add-on.
Hell yeah. Max, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right, well, thank you guys for coming on. It's kind of like a weird, surreal dream that I've been interviewing like creators of Adult Swim shows recently. And it's really fun to have you guys on, obviously. Watch Tender Touches if you're listening to this. You can follow me on Twitter at Mouse Fitzgerald without the D and on Instagram at Adult Swim Merch Archive. You guys want to plug anything?
I just want you to edit this so I sound really smart and cool.
Will
And
do.
my Instagram is Lorne, Lorn dot Payne, Payne. And my website is freebeachgetaway.com.
Awesome.
I'm on Instagram. I'm at Dave Bonowitz too. On TikTok, get at me before TikTok gets banned in America, at Dave Bonowitz.
And look up Rat Cousin on Twitch. It's a rat who lives in my walls and he plays games and everyone loves it. It's going to be the biggest stream in 26 years.
Lauren, do you design those Fish Center socks?
Yeah.
I have those. I like was wearing them like yesterday. I love the Fish Center socks. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So yeah, watch Tender Touches. I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to edit this heavily.